the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
This is definitely a familiar voice to all of you that listen to Rant and Wrestling, because I am back for maybe one night only. I know I'll be here next week. This is Rant and Wrestling episode 187. I am Booty KD, one half of the World Tag Team Champions, and I am joined here by the Queen of World Champion, because he has never lost, only one time be a count out. Oh, this is Doomsday. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I had to take a break from eating my lemon pepper wings to do this wonderful podcast. Let's get it.
All right. And next up, you all know who this is. This man, all coming all the way from the West Side. This is West Side.
Yep. It's officially Christmas season because I think I am operating on 10 hours of sleep because of my overnight shifts of jobs. Yes. 10 hours in the last 72 hours.
Fuck.
Yep. No, they bumped me up an extra dollar for this Christmas period of time. If I was living in a city with less of a cost of living, I could probably afford a house. But I live in California, so I can't afford to leave my mom's home.
I'm not trying to get personal, but how much an hour do you make?
Right now, for this part of the time, I make just under $15 an hour.
Just under 15? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I just got a pay increase. Like I have a salary, but it equates to like $15 and like 80 cents an hour. So it's like barely enough to get by.
And you got like set hours.
What?
Right?
What'd you say?
And you have set hours, so.
On my job,
I'm usually working for like $13.55, but I'm not sure if I'm working 20 hours a week or 40 hours a week.
Yeah, but honestly, I am trying to like look into probably buying a townhouse at some point. Get the fuck out.
Yeah. All right, but yep, that's just me, tired, ready to talk to wrestling.
Yeah, don't rent.
Yeah.
Don't rent, you buy.
Don't rent. All right, now, please. We are going to start off with the greatest show of the week, Monday Night Raw. To some, it might be the best still. Someone's going to say, hey, Raw is the best show. I watch it every week. I'm loyal. Love Finn Balor. Someone's out there just saying that right now. So
someone contributing to that 2.5 rating every week.
Yeah. Someone is.
Hey, man. I'm always contributing. I may not be watching, but I have the TV on, it's background noise, I may fall asleep two-thirds in, but the TV's still on, it counts, you know, fuck it.
That does count, that is,
yeah.
That is.
And then you're also checking in on Hulu with what you missed, so you're contributing to their other avenues.
Exactly, so it works. But yeah, Raw happened, and I really don't give a shit about much of it. A lot of the participants in Survivor Series had matches. One significant match was Jason Jordan versus Bray Wyatt. Jason Jordan barely picked up the victory on that one, but Bray Wyatt made sure that he killed his fucking knee after the match. Well, even before the match was over, he was already hurt. But since that happened, he was in the back, and Kurt Angle was contemplating kicking him off the team. Then later in the night, of course, Jason Jordan, he goes, pleads, and whines like a bitch to Kurt Angle, is saying, "I'm your son." And this is the first time I actually booed Jason Jordan. Like, honest to God, like this whole like route of Jason Jordan has been like, yeah, he's all right, man. He's a great wrestler. People give him too much shit. But the characterization of him during Raw really set me on that other side that a lot of people had that hatred for. Just for the fact that he just sounded like a whiny bitch, and it came off that he was using his dad for a position in the company, position on Raw. So, like, how can you cheer for somebody like that? Like, I don't know what WWE's trying to do with him. It just felt like he was one of those, like, he felt like a bad guy. Like, just kind of slimy. I don't know. What did you think?
I heard people talk about it online. I don't understand WWE booking on any aspect. I mean, take his opponent was Bray Wyatt, a guy who they don't know how to book, and a guy who's still probably, even as a, like, their top jobber, is more popular than some of their top guys.
Yeah.
WWE doesn't know what they're doing. So either this is an actual clear vision, which will be an ultimate surprise, or this is just them dropping the ball like they always do.
Yeah.
So
that sounds like film.
Yeah. So I can't say anything until I know the end game. But then again, with WWE, sometimes there is no end game, and they just completely forget what they're doing.
No continuity whatsoever. None.
Yeah,
but
I think I've said it before that they don't trust their audience to understand continuity, so they're either going to drop it or they're just going to repeatedly hammer it into your head week after week after week. There is barely any in between those two.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. But what ended up happening with Jason Jordan is that he got kicked off the team. How, you might ask? Kurt Angle was reluctant to kick him off. Stephanie ordered him to. Still hesitant. And Triple H's music hits. He goes down, grabs the mic, says he's the fifth member. Jason Jordan's out. And he looks at Kurt Angle. He said, "This your son?" looked and then turned around and pedigrees Jason Jordan. He's so disrespectful.
And what did Kurt Angle do?
Nothing. Absolutely.
Damn.
Nothing. Well, yeah, nothing.
You know why? You know why he did nothing? Because that's not his real fucking son.
Right.
Had it been his real son, he would have jumped down his throat. Ain't been the first time Triple H fucked Kurt Angle. Come on now. That is clear indication that is
I mean,
like,
Kurt Angle in this junction, he can't really do much. Like, dude can't even stand straight. Like, he has to walk with his knees bent. Like 75.
I don't care if I have no knees. I'm protecting my goddamn child. I'm letting this on bad.
My guy got no knees, son. Like, he tried to charge at him. He's done. Why do you think he had minimal movement during that TLC match? He was fucking crazy.
I still think that Kurt Angle could probably take Triple H in a fight. He just can't lunge at him.
Oh.
He didn't have to wait till Triple H makes
a
move.
I mean, isn't that his bread and butter, lunging at people? That's what an amateur.
Yeah, but he could probably fight defensively. He would have to, because you can block a double leg takedown. Not actually that hard. You just drop down and either hook him in the front headlock, kind of transition into a monkey flip with their head hook while they're going doing it.
Sounds like logic to me.
Yeah, but you know, most people aren't trained to you know, be defensive against double leg takedown. Someone showed me how to do it in high school, and I'm like, well, I'm gonna forget how to do this, but
it
works.
Sprawl. It's a sprawl, man. You gotta sprawl.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. So Triple H is the final member of Team Raw, and they have completed.
No, it's just Team Braun Strowman, because I'm hiding behind him for every part of the match.
Almost definitely. And speaking of Braun Strowman, it was Braun Strowman versus Kane. And, of course, it was all over the place. There were chairs involved. Like, but the thing is that it was really short. I think they ran out of time, so it just felt a little bit rushed. And the end of the show ended with Braun Strowman power slamming Kane through the ring. Boom. So
Kane gets to go back to doing his campaigning for his mayoralship.
Yeah, I think he has a video out of talking about why he still wrestles or something like that. I forgot exactly what it was. I didn't bother to watch it though. I think he
would just win if he just kept doing videos of him chokeslamming guys who look like his opponent.
Yo, he had his campaign shirts are parody shirts.
Oh, they are.
Have you seen them shits?
No.
They are parody shirts. There's one that looks like a parody Bullet Club shirt.
Everybody got that Bullet Club parody shirt now, don't they?
Everybody's got one, man.
They know what sells. That shit is hot in the hot topic.
Bullet Club got so convoluted, they had parody shirts, and they're parody shirts.
Right.
That's how all of that
shit.
But, whatever. SmackDown happened. One of the more significant things happened, like, in the beginning. There was a funny-ass pep rally that Shane McMahon had. Daniel Bryan posed as the advocate for AJ Styles.
Wait, you didn't talk about how Brock Lesnar shitted on that couple.
Oh, shit. No, it wasn't Brock. It was exactly Brock Lesnar. It was Paul Heyman.
Yeah, it was Heyman. That's what I'm saying. I saw that yesterday morning.
Yeah, that shit was funny because I saw it live. I actually saw it live. That was actually pretty funny. While it was still airing, and yeah, they got engaged. I guess she said yes. She said yes, and then they started chanting. She said yes. Paul Heyman, of course, heard that shit. He was not having it. He was like, "Congratulations to y'all, but y'all not gonna interrupt my goddamn promo." And all that, and tore into him for a little bit, and then got right back into it.
You tell him, Paul.
It was good, man. It was fantastic. But, of course, the night after, Daniel Bryan was an advocate for AJ Styles, and he did a really good job of giving accolades and shit to AJ and putting Brock Lesnar down, blah, blah, blah. After that...
He's just reminding WWE what's going to happen if he leaves. They're going to lose a good... one of their better promo guys.
Which is funny because you really... before WWE, he really wasn't a promo guy.
See, and I always thought it just sort of... with him, he was only good promo guy when he was in the ring about to do something. Because there was a... during their Milestone era, right? I think it was right after they did the show 100, right before he fought Alex Shelley. He cut like a 10-minute promo because they were in the ECW arena, I think for the first time, and CZW was about to do a show too. And he just went all in on the crowd. About how he was going to go in the audience and punch a woman for disrespecting her. Him.
Oh Jesus!
Like
that shit now.
He was savage. But, yeah, I mean, it was the same thing. I think he did the same thing to Sanjay Dutt during the show. Like, when he was, like, ready to wrestle or just after wrestling and he was hyped as fuck, he could cut a promo. He just sucked at cutting promos, like, backstage or shit like that. Like, he had a thing. But when he had the tights on, when he was in the ring,
he was in
ready
that mode.
Just to be mean as fuck.
He was in that mode, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's dope. Yeah, what other significant thing happened on SmackDown? There was the title matches that happened. Sin Cara versus Baron Corbin was to determine the U.S. champion to face Miz as the IC champion, of course, champion of Survivor Series. And, of course, Baron Corbin picked up the victory that one. And the second title... match of the night ended up being Natalya versus Charlotte in Charlotte. And of course, Charlotte wins in her hometown. And she is the new SmackDown Women's Champion.
Basically all this tells me is if you're a woman, you have a title match in your hometown coming up, and you're a face, chances are you're going to win.
No. Oh, and if you're, and I'll tell, talk about some other stuff later. But yeah, she cut a little bit of something talking about how Rick, she did it for her father, and he's at home, blah, blah, blah. But as she's going up the ramp, this music hits, and he comes out, they embrace, and all that. It's a nice lovey dovey moment. Yeah. So, that happened. Later in the night, main event was New Day versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Good match up until you hear the Shield and the Shield's music play. They come out in half Raw, half Shield shirts, which are very unusual.
I said this on Twitter because I saw the GIF. They look like Two-Face's henchmen if he took them out to a night of wrestling.
That is funny. Yeah. But yeah, they came out and they surrounded the ring. Of course, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens said fuck all that and just rolled out the ring. Because basically SmackDown's told them to fuck off anyway, so why should they defend them?
They should invade 205 Live.
Yeah.
That'll save that show.
Yeah. But after that, of course, the brawl happened. And in comes, who came? I forgot who came first. I think it was the Usos. Yeah, the Usos came out. And then you had Cesaro and Sheamus come out. And basically all the teams are getting in the brawl. And after a while, you see SmackDown dudes coming out. Raw dudes coming out from the crowd. It's just a massive brawl. Everybody's getting their asses beat in the ring. And it's kind of a stalemate for the most part until Kurt Angle comes out and sits Braun Strowman out and basically kills everybody for the most part. And Shane McMahon, he's getting his ass kicked, ends up in the clutches of the Shield, gets hit with a few triple power bombs, and of course an Olympic slam from Kurt Angle. And yeah, it looks like Kurt Angle's finally had enough. He's time to get bitched out by everybody, so yeah, he's ready for Survivor Series, and that was the end of SmackDown. After that, there was 205 Live. Another hometown person, Cedric Alexander, he had a nice little intro from Rich Swann, and they had a tag team match against Kendrick and Jack Gallagher in a tornado tag match. Which was pretty, it was a pretty dope match, and lo and behold, Rich Swann and Cedric Alexander won. And of course, Cedric was the one who caught the, he got the pin with lumbar check, and he got to leave his hometown with a W. So,
I think they should move those guys up to one of the other things to work in as a division, unless they plan to make a cruiserweight tag division.
Yeah. And then, what other match was there? There was Daivari versus Mustafa Ali, which was pretty good. And Gulak versus Kalisto on his birthday. They ended up fighting for a while outside of the ring. We were trying to figure out if somebody was going into the cake. Didn't happen, but then, of course, Enzo, after he ran away, went to the back, and there was still a cake in the back. And next thing you know, Kalisto attacks him and just shoves his face in the cake, starts chucking the cake all over him and shit, and that was it, 205 Live. So, yeah, that
the
was
the only thing that Enzo has seemed to do for 205 Live is scare, kind of push Neville out of the scene and show that Drew Gulak is one of their most underrated promo guys they have.
Yeah, that's the best side effect of what's happened in the Gulak factor. That's what I think.
Yeah, because whenever I see 205 Live gifts, the only time they ever I see anything about Enzo, it's always Gulak in the background being funny as fuck. Yeah.
Yo, Gulak is great, man. Gulak is great.
Yeah. All right, then. Guess it's time for the cards. You ready, Booty? It's been a while.
Yeah, gotta crack my knuckles over here. Do a little stretch over here. There we go. Alright, So, the cards that I'm going to read off here. This is Ring of Honor Survival of the Fittest, Night 1. I believe they have a Night of 2 and 3. First round is going to come here. First off, Women of Honor, the Virtuosa, Deonna Purrazzo versus Britt Baker. The Survival of the Fittest round is Silas Young versus Josh the Good Woods. Spearcy, the Bruiser going up against Shane Taylor, and Punisher Martinez going up against Jay Lethal. And I believe Jay Lethal won Survival of the Fittest before, right? Or I know he was in it.
I'll bring up the past winners.
I know he was in the finals with Davey Richards, and Davey Richards won that. Alright, go ahead and find that one. TCMLL, you might have to help me with this. This is Ray Kamita.
Ray Kamita is, from the few matches I've seen with him, he's pretty fucking good.
And S-Fing? It's like E-S...
Yeah, S-Fing. I pronounce it S-Fing, but... Okay. Yeah, I've seen a couple of his matches, too. I can't remember which one he is, but I'm sure I've seen some of his matches. Of the two, I think Ray Kamita is the more interesting, more typical Lucha Libre high flyer. I think S-Fing is pretty high flyer, too. But okay. S-Fing is one of the many mass wrestlers they have. So, all right, I got the list of the Survival of the Fittest guys.
Who won that?
It started in 2004. So from there up, Bryan Danielson, Roderick Strong, Delirious, Chris Hero, Tyler Black, Eddie Edwards, Michael Elgin, Jay Lethal, Adam Cole, Michael Elgin, Bobby Fish.
I heard Survival of the Fittest. I heard
70% of them are in WWE now?
Yeah, basically.
Oh, yeah. Danielson, Strong, Bro, Black. And Fish. So that's 5 of the, 11.
Well, other than New Japan, Delirious is booking.
Eddie Edwards. Actually, I don't even want to call Eddie Edwards a TNA guy. He's the NOAH champion.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, if I was him, I would call myself a NOAH guy and not a TNA guy. TNA's part-time.
I think he's part-time.
Yeah, both almost part-time. NOAH still can't book shows, but they still pay well. Well, they still pay probably better than TNA.
Yeah. So Team CMLL going up against the Dogs of Wilfred and Red Tigers. In a non-title match, the junior heavyweight champion of New Japan, Marty Scurll, going up against Dalton Castle. Search and Destroy of John D. Gresham and the Motor City Machine Guns going up against the Kingdom, Vinny Marcellia, T.K. O'Ryan, and Matt Taven. For the World Six-Man Tag Team Champion co-holder, the Young Bucks going up against Flip Gordon and Scorpio Sky, who I believe has been on their show a couple of times. And he kissed the Ring of Honor, the actual Ring of Honor. Thank you, Cody. The main event for this show, Ring of Honor World Champion Cody and the Cleaner Kenny Omega. Is he still U.S. champ?
Yes.
Okay. So those guys are going to face the Addiction of Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. And those guys, like, I think they just need to just chill. Chill out. I don't know. I'm not a fan of them like I used to. Alright, so next up is Night 2 of Survival of the Fittest. Cody Rhodes will face Christopher Daniels, and I believe that might be for the Ring of Honor World title, because I remember they was in the Soaring Eagles Cup, and they wanted 5 more minutes, and Daniels was like, I'm not giving them 5 more minutes until that title's on the line, so that's probably... what's going to happen here. So back to the Survival of the Fittest round 1.
I think that match with Daniels and Rhodes is some sort of death match or something. It's going to be a gimmick match, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, they said it was a Texas death match or some shit.
Okay.
Round 1 on the other side of the Survival of the Fittest. I guess they call him Ink Sanity, Vinny Marcellia. Okay, whatever. Vinny Marcello is going up against the Octopus, Jonathan Gresham. TK O'Ryan going up against Flip Gordon. And Matt Taven going up against Cheeseburger. So out of those guys, any of them could win fucking first round. I don't even know. I don't even think there's a favorite to win this thing. I have no idea. Dalton Castle and Jay Lethal could go up against the Young Bucks. That might be fun. Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championship will be on the line. Motor City Machine Guns defends the title against that team known as Team C-O-L-L-S Fiend and Rey Kavita. Ring of Honor World Television Championship will be on the line. Frankie Kazarian gets a title shot against me, Kenny King. Now, it's night three, which will be on, I believe, Sunday? It'll be on Sunday, I'll say it. Madison Rain will be there going up against Deonna Purrazzo. I thought she was still in TNA. Granted, I have not seen Madison Rain in years, so...
Yeah, apparently she's been working a few dates for Ring of Honor now.
Alright, fuck it. Frankie Kazarian going up against Dalton Castle. Marty Scurll going up against Christopher Daniels for another television championship match scheduled. If Kenny King beats Frankie Kazarian, he will go up against Chris Sabin. And of course, this will be the finals of Survivor of the Fittest. And yes, you are right. It is a Texas death match between Cody and Christopher Daniels.
All right, I'm looking at S. Fing. I can't remember ever seeing the guy wrestle. I've seen Rey Comita. Rey Comita's good.
Okay. I don't know if there's any other cards because I'm not home, but I do know that NXT TakeOver War Games is happening on Saturday, and they are in Houston, Texas. So that should be actually pretty fun. A match that so it says right here, a dark match, so it's probably going to be for like a TV taping. For the regular NXT show, Johnny Gargano goes up against Pete Dunne for the United Kingdom Championship.
Why isn't this just on the pre-show?
I don't know. Why is this on the real card? I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised if this is going to be on next week's episode of NXT, because they tend to do that. After a TakeOver show, they always have a few matches from that night on NXT the week after.
They need to figure out what to do with the UK guys, because they got stars in Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, and Trent Seven.
Well, I think they... I thought it was just UK versus UK. Like, they're only going up against UK guys. That's what they've been doing so far. So this will be his first title defense against an American wrestler, I believe. Because it's always been either Tyler Bate, maybe Mark Andrews, Wolfgang. To my knowledge, those are all I remember. And I think Trent Seven. But, yeah, so this, I mean, long as they use the title. He haven't even got side plates yet. I still think he still has the default one. From what I saw when he came out Monday against Enzo. But yes, NXT TakeOver, the real show, the real deal show. Lars Sullivan going up against Cassius Ohno. And who would you guys pick here? Because I believe they're really going to be pushing this man, Lars.
Yeah. I haven't seen Lars, but I saw GIFs, and I'm like, yeah, that's the guy WWE wants.
Big white guy.
Yeah, big white guy.
Big white guy.
They don't like to stray beyond that too much.
Yeah.
No. I'm going to... Cassius can take an L right here, right? Disqualification.
Cassius gonna take as many L's as they're gonna give him.
At least he's on the card. Sometimes they be leaving them all.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't even know where Hideo Itami is.
I heard they're gonna finally move him up soon.
As long as they don't get hurt. Dude, you got any thoughts on this?
It's gonna be Lars, man. I don't like Lars. Looks like some weird freak of nature between George the Animal Steel, Andre the Giant, and Bruno Sammartino, but on steroids.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So he looks like a late 80s, early 90s WWE wrestler.
Yeah, basically. Right.
He's weird, though. But it might be good. Might be good. The Velveteen Dream going up against Aleister Black. This is two different... People, wait.
Say my name, man. You say
you know,
my name.
Right. You gotta know I exist. Number Team Dream loves the attention. I was like, not giving it to him unless he gets that kick to the goddamn perm. Who are you gonna book for this match? Aleister Black or the Velveteen Dream?
I don't know if I would drop Black's winning straight to Dream, but I mean, I like the little bit of promos I've seen from Velveteen Dream.
This could be a sleeper pick.
That's my sleeper. That's my sleeper right there.
This could go pretty damn well. Black has been doing really well in his matches, and we all know his name? Clark. Patrick Clark. Yeah, we all know he can do things.
I haven't actually seen him wrestle. I've only seen bits and pieces of his promo work stuff. And I thought that was pretty good.
Oh, yeah. He's pretty good. He's pretty good as a wrestler. When he's not in them squashes, because like a lot of the NXT stuff that he's had so far has been like squashes or whatnot. But I think he had like one or two that were like regular type match. But it's pretty good.
Yeah, this is.
I'm looking forward to seeing the match.
Yeah, I like both. I'm gonna go with Black, but. This is Velveteen Dreams, I believe, is the first takeover, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
And Black has been on just about all of them since he did. And he's been doing really well. The Fatal 4-Way for the vacant NXT Women's Championship. Ember Moon is going to get another title shot. Kairi Sane is the one who won the Mae Young Classic. She got her title shot by default. Peyton Royce featuring Billie Kay. Of course, you know she's going to be out there. Insanity's Nikki Cross. None of them have ever been winning the champion in NXT. So who would you guys give it to?
Asuka. She's going to come out and win the title back.
Cannot choose Asuka. She moved on. She's in a feud with SmackDown.
Okay. If I have to pick between these four, I say just give it to Peyton Royce. You might as well have the iconic duo have it for a while.
Ooh, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. Doomsday, who you got?
I was thinking, like, yeah, Peyton Royce would be a good choice. I don't think Ember Moon or Kairi Sane should ever get the title in a freaking four-way match.
I agree with that.
Neither of those two. Like, it has to be, like, if they're ever going to get the title, it has to be in a one-on-one match. So Peyton Royce would make sense. She's a heel. And, of course, iconic duo. But Nikki Cross could make sense too.
Yeah, and she's like a tweener character, so she can go either way.
She'll just add more gold to Sanity, because Sanity already has the tag titles, and just add more gold to that faction. So that would make some sense.
What about Kairi Sane?
No, again,
she's the favorite to win the Mae Young
Classic.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna. Go two Asian champions back to back. This is WWE after all.
Yeah, and I don't think she's going
to. Kairi Sane has never lost.
And she's not going to eat the pin.
Well,
either.
She's about to lose a four-way.
A lot of people like her. My pick will be Ember Moon. Reason being, she got real close those other times, and I think they really was going to give her the title if she didn't get hurt. But of course, with the rematch, I didn't show that. She actually lost. Kairi Sane is another favorite. I'm going to say this. Don't sleep. They might just put it on her. Nikki Cross could. She could, but I don't think so right now. And Peyton
she's
Royce
over.
Getting all that. Yeah. I get it.
I think they're all over.
To get all the attention. Right. That's what I'm saying. It could go. It doesn't matter to me. If they give it to Ember Moon, then that means that she can feud with Peyton Royce and maybe feud with Nikki Cross or Billie Kay, or someone else from the Mae Young Classic might jump out there and say Jazzy Gabbert, whoever
who
has the title holder.
They only signed like one or two women out of that whole tournament.
They signed a whole bunch.
No, a lot of those girls were already signed.
Before the tournament.
A lot of those girls were already
signed. Anyway. So, if it was me, I'll have them, one of them little girls, not Peyton Royce, not Nikki Cross, it'll be either Ember Moon or Kairi Sane. Whoever holds that title up, here comes Jazzy Gabbert, doing some crazy shit, and she's over as hell, holds the title over her head like, hey, I got you on my radar.
Yeah, but she's not signed. No, she's not. They said that they might sign her. She's not officially signed.
I looked on there like before, like after the tournament was over. I looked on there. They said she was.
No, I think she's only does show by show, because that's what they're doing. Like with Mercedes Martinez, Candice LeRae, several of the women are only getting hired show for show.
Yeah.
Check that one. Not them.
Yeah.
But Jazzy Gabbert.
Yeah, I don't think she's signed.
I could have sworn that she was. Before, I checked, she wasn't. When it started the tournament, she wasn't. after
no,
the tournament.
According to Wikipedia, still not signed. It's okay, man. I understand why. The audience really wanted her signed.
They were saying, please sign Gabby.
Yeah, but apparently, well, you gotta remember, WWE's been cost-cutting so much this year to increase their revenue stream because of some slow business here and there. So they weren't going to sign as many of the women out of this tournament like they tried to sign almost all the men out of the Cruiserweight class.
Yeah, yeah. So that's... I don't care.
Yeah, they're paying these women per show, which is fine. They can do that.
For the NXT Championship, Andrade Cien Almas is on a roll going up against Drew McIntyre, the champion. And I wouldn't be surprised if Andrade takes that belt away from that guy. He's been winning and looking really good. But Drew McIntyre is the new champion, and I thought they were going to build him and Adam Cole.
Yeah.
But I guess they're going different directions until Adam Cole is done.
It's interesting? I think there was an article that was just put up basically saying that Cien Almas may be that Latino star that they've been looking for.
Yeah. What's her name? Zelina? Starting to help.
Yeah, that
a little bit. She's the mic. She
helped a lot, but like he was starting to get into his group before she showed up, though.
Yeah, I think the problem is they kind of stopped him from being wrestling like Los Sombra for so long. It took him a while to adapt to the WWE style.
Right,
because he was doing when like five times as many high flying moves when he was in CMLL. They were like,
right,
you could do maybe one or two a match now, dude.
Yeah. Like, he is on, like I said, he's been on a roll since she joined. So, before, I could not see him as NXT champion. Now, I definitely can see him as NXT champion. Long as he has her with Drew McIntyre, I still think they're going to go a little bit further with that guy. You know, and you know, now with the NXT championship, they like to do rematches every table. So, this might not be his last chance getting the title shot. So, but who would you guys pick to win? Almas or McIntyre?
I think McIntyre wins, and then Almas should move up sometime soon.
Really? Already?
Yeah. I mean, I think. Well, we're coming up to the Royal Rumble season, so I think you're going to have, you know, maybe not right away, but I wouldn't be surprised to see some of these guys off television for a while and then show up with Royal Rumble or post Royal Rumble. Because you know you get like a couple of guys showing up afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah. What you got?
Yeah, I got McIntyre.
Alright. Guys, it's War Game.
War Game!
Finally bringing it back. It's happening. It's finally happening. The War Game is set. Now the guys are in there as the NXT Tag Team Champions of Sanity. Alexander Wolf, Killian Dane, and Eric Young going up against the Authors of Pain, Ultimate Radar, and Roderick Strong versus the Undisputed Era, my clients, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and Adam Cole, baby. Out of these three teams, who is winning War Games? Do people win War Games or do they survive War Games?
You know, I never actually seen a War Game match ever.
It's a long time ago. That's WCW War Game. Fall Brawl.
See, for me, like, I never saw any of the WCW shit, and when the WWE Network, like, finally launched, like, some years ago, the first things I was watching were all the War Games. So I saw all the War Games after that, and I was hooked. Even the bad ones were still entertaining to me.
Yeah, y'all know the rules to this War Game.
It's complicated.
God, it is. I know there are two people start in, and I guess after a certain time limit, another team comes in, and time limit, another one comes in. I don't think you can pin until everyone's in there.
Yeah.
And then whoever gets that one pinfall wins the whole thing.
Yeah, I think so. That's the thing.
This is hard. Like, if I'm wrestling in this match, everything needs to go according to plan, and I don't think that's going to happen.
So, it could very well be a clusterfuck, basically.
A fun clusterfuck. Right?
I guess.
This is going to be really, really
tough. This is like a huge weekend of a lot of stuff, so I don't know. My hype level for NXT isn't actually that high.
That's the best part. Even when it's not that high, it still comes up really good.
Yeah, yeah. It'll probably still be the better of the two WWE shows, but
Oh, yeah. What out for?
I think the Undisputed Era is going to win it, I guess. I don't know.
I'm going to pick them as well. They're the new group.
And it's time to move off the paint up to the main roster so they can destroy them as a tag team like they do to almost everybody who moves up.
Yeah.
And then Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly will take the belts off Sanity. And everything will be good. I get to eat good. Well. Great. Denzel, who would you pick?
Yeah, I think I got Undisputed Era. Which I still think is a dumb name.
It's terrible. Their shirts are just...
Yo, their shirts got like... It's Undisputed Era, then it's like CFO... And all that shit like that, and like, there's too much going on. Like, you gotta be simplistic with the shirts, and they add way too much.
We're gonna move on.
Moving along.
What is the other one? What's up? We're Super Series. Survivor Series. There we go. That show that everybody loves so dearly that they don't want to get rid of. Survivor Series, and guess what, guys? It is Raw versus SmackDown. Bragging rights in a Survivor Series. You're gonna love it. Hopefully, I don't know. The WWE Cruiserweight Championship. Kalisto gets his rematch against Enzo Amore. How you doing? Do you guys give a fuck?
No.
He's over as a heel, yo.
I would like to see the published viewing on 205 Live to see if Enzo Amore really ever had an effect on that show. Or major effect.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think he did, but now it looks like they just want him to just shut up. Because he talks too much. And I don't think people care enough about Kalisto. I think they want Neville back.
Yeah, Neville was building that brand.
Yeah, he was. And then he just up and left. And I guess we see why.
Yeah. Well, they don't want him to go. They holding on to that contract.
So, like I said before, it is Raw versus SmackDown. So there's going to be a lot of champions versus champions. We're going to start off with the mid-card title. The U.S. champion, Baron Corbin, going up with the Intercontinental champion, The Miz, featuring The Miz. Who would you guys pick, The Miz or Baron Corbin?
The Miz.
I'm gonna go with the dark horse. I'm gonna go with Baron Corbin
because they are adamant about pushing Baron Corbin. I think if anything, this is just gonna show you how much of a face Miz actually is with the audience.
Yeah, I was about to say who are they gonna boo?
They're gonna boo Baron Corbin. Yeah, it doesn't matter that he's been playing an asshole. They like the Miz.
Yeah, he's been playing the heel for the most part in this like little feud they've had like on social media.
Yeah, because Baron Corbin's a bitch.
Oh. But isn't The Miz one, too? He runs all over the...
Yeah, but Baron Corbin's an asshole. He was, like, speaking down on his wife and shit. Kid.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he went out of bounds, so... Yeah, he crossed the line. We all know Miz is a crafty, cowardly, but he's also a winner. And, you know, he's not... You know, and he doesn't need... Patel to redo his bald spot hairline thing going for his
Oh my god. Next up is the women. So, champion versus champion. The Raw Women's Champion Alexa Bliss going up against the SmackDown Women's Champion. Not Natalya, because that means the match won't be as elevated unless you put the title on Charlotte. So Charlotte will face Alexa Bliss. Who's the better female champion? Who would you book to win this match?
See, this makes absolutely no sense to me because, A, Alexa Bliss is not that great a wrestler, but she always wins. And, B, then Charlotte Flair almost always wins, too. And she's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What are they doing?
Yeah. I mean, I guess they couldn't have two heel versus heel champion matches. So, I guess I would have Alexa Bliss win just to piss people off. And I say that as someone who is not that big of a Alexa Bliss fan.
Do they?
I got Charlotte.
I'm going to say Charlotte. I don't know. Hopefully this match is good. Hopefully.
Hopefully. Charlotte is like twice Alexa Bliss's height.
Right. Next champion versus champion match. This is for the tag team of Cesaro and Sheamus going up against Jay and Jimmy Uso. Now, who would you guys book this? Because both teams are pretty damn good.
Yeah, but they're both heels, too. Ooh, Jesus. Well, WWE is suddenly going all in on heels.
So the fans are just going to just cheer both of them? Both these guys can't fight forever?
I don't know. I think they're going to... they'll probably chant for Cesaro and Sheamus over the Usos. I don't know. I mean, I would actually want the Usos to win just because, you know, they've been around longer.
Yeah. They are, like, they're better tag team of this day that they've had. So
yeah, I think they're... together. I think they're the most underrated tag team of the of this decade for sure.
Mm.
I mean, one of my few dream matches would actually be them and the Young Bucks more than, like, the Young Bucks versus the Revival. I'd rather see them wrestle Jay and Jimmy Uso.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not wrong about that. Didn't say you got anything on the tag match.
Yeah, I got Usos.
I'm a big Usos for the culture.
The Usos culture, is the Randy Wrestling's official tag team of the WWE.
Oh yeah,
actually, any tag team that's just made up of people of color is the official tag team of this show.
Almost definitely, except Primo and Epico.
Oh, well, no one remembers them.
I was like, who?
Are they still signed? They also trying to leave, and WWE doesn't want them to go.
I saw the back of the head of one of them at the pep rally that Shane McMahon had on SmackDown.
So were they sitting there standing there like, why are we still coming to these shows?
I don't know.
Episode, Jesus.
Next up is another champion versus champion man. This is the last one, probably the most important one. And it is the WWE champion, not Jinder Mahal, but AJ Styles, going up against the Universal Champion that's actually going to be there, Brock Lesnar. Who would you guys want to win?
We all know who's going to win this. Brock Lesnar.
Lesnar.
Now,
I mean, first of all, they have to pay him extra to show up. They have to pay him even more to lose, right?
Well, Brock Lesnar is on this show, so you know he main events the show, but except when The Undertaker had his last match. But is this going to be the main event of the show?
Sure.
Okay. Dizzy, who you got?
What was it again?
AJ Styles and Brock Lesnar.
Oh, I said Brock Lesnar, man. I thought there was something else y'all said.
Oh, no.
Yeah, damn.
I'm pretty sure Brock is going to win. One F5 is a killer. That's all he needs is one. And then that's it. No one kicks out of the F5. Nobody.
Not anymore, at least.
Yeah, no.
Not until Roman Reigns gets his rematch.
Not anymore, you're
or
not.
Or whatever.
Yeah, Braun Strowman couldn't kick out. And yeah, Samoa Joe couldn't kick out. Like, this is F5. This is the new tombstone. And even Shawn Michaels could get out of that. So next up, no champion versus champion, but this is a six-man brand match. Raw has picked The Shield, Ambrose, Reigns, and Rollins. SmackDown chose The New Day, Big E, Kofi, and Xavier Woods. So who would you guys have to win this, The New Day or Shield?
See, here's the problem. We all know deep in our hearts The New Day should win this because it's The New Day, but The Shield just reformed, and Roman's been out for a while, so you know The Shield's going to win it. It's basically predictable WWE booking versus the team that should win.
Wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4. Huh. Okay. Interesting. I think the Shield is gonna win because they're the Shield. New Day. If the New Day wins, I will be shocked.
Granted, but you'll be happy.
Either one winning. Either one can win. But I think the shocker of beating the Shield, like, you know how top tier the Shield is with all three of them together? They ain't losing. But if they do, I hope it's not on shenanigans like kick to the nads or, I mean, I get it, a win is a win. But if they actually finesse this win and beat the Shield somehow, some way, I'll be happy. I will be shocked. But I'm pretty sure that they'll have a good match, though. They had a good match with the Usos. You know, the Shield can deliver. That will be pretty fun. Now, I'm looking at this card, and I don't know the true story of this because, you know, I don't watch Raw on SmackDown, but this is for the women's traditional 5-on-5. Team Raw, Nia Jax, undefeated Asuka, Sasha Banks, Bayley, healthy Bayley, and Alicia Fox. Going up against Team SmackDown's girls of Tamina Snuka, Naomi, Becky Lynch, Carmella, and Lana? There's someone missing on this team?
I think it's Lana's going to be there in their corner. So, yeah, I think there's an unannounced member. I'm assuming it's Natalya, but whatever.
Right, because she ain't doing nothing no more than took her off the card. She is SmackDown. Mickie James is Raw, right?
Yeah.
Carmella's already in there. Who else is on SmackDown that they can get? I think that's it. God forbid it's Stephanie.
No, it's going to be Natalya.
Yeah, Natalya.
She's the only person they got.
Yeah, because they swapped out. Since Charlotte is the champ, Natalya has to take her place on the team.
What happens if they bring somebody up from NXT that no one knew that was going to happen and they just had to sign somebody new to SmackDown?
That would be kind of petty.
The only person, because Team Raw is sacked. Well, yeah. Team Raw has Nia, Jack, and Asuka, and realistically, they should win the whole thing themselves. The only person Team SmackDown could use to, even I would remotely say, could face off against Nia, Jack, and Asuka would be Jazzy Gabber. But I don't think they put her on there. She's the only one who's big enough to present an actual challenge to Nia, Jax, and Asuka in size and strength.
Right.
Could they bring Karma back?
Oh, fuck no. They ain't bringing her back.
No one will see that coming. No one will see that coming. I promise you.
She probably, like, fuck WWE anyway. I'm getting that glow money.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I would think they would bring her on there, because she's recognizable from that glow show.
Who knows? It's WWE. Like I said, WWE fans don't like wrestling outside of WWE, so I'm pretty sure they didn't watch Glow either, because they didn't know the difference. They'd be like, I didn't watch that wrestling program. It was a TV series. It had wrestling in it, and it wasn't WWE.
And she's not even going to be full-time. It's just going to be for one night only.
Like, hey, if they brought her in, I'd be happy.
It's just a thought. I don't know who they're going to bring in. Probably Natalya.
Yeah,
be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice for them to do something as a surprise. And like I said, Nia Jax and Asuka are beasts. They should have someone on their team that could be a beast themselves.
Exactly.
But so that's why Team Raw's going to win.
I would definitely hit her up and be like, what you doing this Sunday? You know, just asking.
She also pretty much said that what's her name, Kia Stevens? She basically also said that a bunch of the women in the WWE were sleeping with a bunch of the people to get spots on the show. So I don't know if she'd be welcome back.
I mean, for one night. Just one night. You know, one night. Just one. Like on some indie shit. You know, just one night. The men's traditional 5-on-5 Raw versus SmackDown Eliminate. Match. Team SmackDown is having Shane McMahon on their team for what reason, I don't know.
So he can have three matches this year that are 4 stars and up.
Fucking Shane.
He's making himself the MVP based on a match quality alone, though I still think Okada will beat him.
Shane McMahon is going to team up with Royal Rumble winner Randy Orton, former NXT champion Bobby Roode, IWGP former Intercontinental champion, and I believe he is the former NXT champion himself, Nakamura Shinsuke, and 40-time world champion John Cena is going to be on Team SmackDown. For Team Raw, the Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle, with all of his broken bones and limbs, teaming up with Finn Balor, who I believe is not going to be the Demon, in my opinion, he shouldn't. Samoa Joe, former two-time NXT champion. Braun Strowman, who has been revised for maybe the third time in his career. And Triple H, the father of NXT, is going to be on Team Raw, because who wants Jason Jordan on that team, right? But this is a stacked little group right here with legends and current people and Shane. Newbies alike, like Robert Roode and Finn Balor. Who would you guys pick to win Raw or SmackDown?
Let's be honest. This match is going to have shenanigans somewhere down the line and not from any of these teams. They're going to send Kane out there to fight Braun Strowman. Bray Wyatt's going to cut a promo in the middle of it. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are just going to come up and fuck Shane McMahon over. I honestly don't know, because I'm predicting this thing to be the most overbooked piece of crap ever, and it'll be just a crazy fun train wreck.
Who's going to pin John Cena?
We're going to give it to Braun Strowman.
Okay, Braun Strowman can. Who's the weakest out of these teams? Like, out of these, besides, well, Shane is on SmackDown, that's the weakest one. Who's the weakest one on Raw? Finn Balor?
Kurt Angle.
Well, Finn Balor did lose to Kane. I'm sorry, that brought his stock down. I'm sorry.
Look, are we talking actual weakest wrestler, or are we talking the wrestler we least care about, because that's Randy Orton?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you forget, like, he's like the one you completely forget that's in the match.
Did you see his back and forth with Kevin Owens recently on Twitter?
Oh, yeah, that was part of my news and shit.
Okay, we'll save that for later then.
Yeah.
That was good shit in there, though.
Samoa Joe is in here. Nice return that he had a couple weeks ago. He could be doing something out here. Who would be the first to be eliminated? It's not Shane. Even though Shane got fucking knocked out last time when Roman speared his ass.
I got $5 that it's going to be Bobby Roode's going to be the first guy out.
Glorious Bobby Roode.
I just look at this list of names, and I just think to myself, Randy Orton and John Cena are going to go out that soon. Neither is Triple H. They're going to keep Kurt and Shane for a little while. I can see Kurt going out second, maybe. Braun Strowman, if he doesn't get screwed over, is going to be in there for a while. It just seems to me that Bobby Roode is of the people. He's not going to be a guy that's going to lead the company like Finn Balor is.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
And Samoa Joe is being positioned as like a top mid-card killer guy. Like, you may never put the main title on him, but he's going to beat the shit out of everybody that's under him on the card.
Now, who would you pick to win, and who would be left?
Honestly, I would pick Finn Balor to win the whole thing.
Soul Survivor?
Soul Survivor. To me, he's the guy with the most upside. Like, the problem with Braun Strowman is they've made him too fucking powerful that you have to keep figuring out ways for him to lose. And they have to keep putting him in these super ridiculous feuds to get him to lose. So that's why I think Kane's going to come out and cost him his shot at this. I don't see anybody on SmackDown really needing to win this, except for maybe Shinsuke Nakamura. I could see it coming down to Balor and Nakamura. That would be pretty interesting. But yeah. I think that Finn Balor has the most upside of any wrestler here, because he's probably the youngest guy on this entire show. I mean, on this entire... Well, him and Strowman are probably the two youngest guys in this match.
Yeah, Randy Orton, John Cena, Nakamura, I know they're in their 30s. Shane, I believe, is in his 40s. Robert Roode, I think, is 40. I don't know how old Strowman is.
No, Strowman, I'm pretty sure, is... if he's not younger than Balor, he's just a little bit older. I'll bring it up right now.
Okay.
Because Balor's in his early 30s tops. Yeah, well, Strowman's 34.
Okay.
And Finn Balor's 36? God damn!
Yeah,
really?
Man. Yeah, he's
I mean, I knew he was in his 30s, but I thought he was, like, early 30s.
Right.
Okay, so Strowman's the youngest. Finn Balor looks the youngest of every guy. And I think that if WWE wants to market towards, you know, a growing fan base. I mean, Finn Balor has the demon gimmick that appeals to kids. He's a very handsome man to the fact that women want him. So why not make Finn Balor the sole survivor? He's the best choice.
And the winner can, I guess, face the champion either Raw or SmackDown, depending on who wins. So if Finn Balor wins, he might...
Brock Lesnar.
Could be Braun. It could be Finn and Braun. Who knows? Shit, it could be Barry Central. It could be Triple H being last with Kurt Angle.
Yeah, don't care.
No TNA guy is going to be last. But Samoa Joe is out. Bobby Roode is out. John Cena could be the sole survivor and piss off everyone.
Look, this is a perfect opportunity for either one of their guys to go over one of their legends. They can use this as a time to get somebody over Randy Orton or John Cena. Because I think it's going to be a Team Raw guy that wins. Because Team SmackDown won last year, I believe, anyway.
It was Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt who were last.
Yeah. So it's Raw this year regardless. I don't care what anyone says.
Okay. So it looks like Raw is winning majority of these matches. So I guess Raw is definitely the better brand. And SmackDown is, in fact, the B show.
Oh, you guys didn't ask me if they were going to win.
Who do you think is going to win?
Who?
SmackDown.
SmackDown.
SmackDown surviving.
I have SmackDown's men's team surviving just for the fact that I feel like Jason Jordan's going to screw the Raw team.
I knew there would be some more. So you brought up even more shenanigans. So we're talking four or five different run-ins by various people. Okay. I'm down with it.
This is going to
Finn Balor versus somebody, and then Jason Jordan screws it over.
Yeah, they had shenanigans last year, too. I think that's how Braun got out.
Yeah.
I forgot how, but yeah, Braun got out by somebody costing him, and then he just left. Who will be your survivors on Team SmackDown?
Who will be my survivors?
Not Bobby Roode.
I'll have Shinsuke.
It'll be Nakamura.
Yeah, I got Shinsuke, definitely. I don't know. Yeah, that's the only one I can think of, though, that would survive.
These entrances is going to be long as fuck.
Almost definitely.
Yeah, this is going to be a long show.
And Bobby Roode is going to be the longest. Jesus. But I'm looking forward to all of these matches, actually. I'm actually intrigued. And WWE pay-per-view. Sheesh. Enzo Amore and Kalisto. I'm not going to watch that.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, I'll watch and I'll tell you how it is.
Okay, cool. All right. But that is it for me. I'm going to dip out because I got to do this history stuff. But I felt like, hey, I got to at least talk about the card. Next week, I will be here on time through the whole thing. So I will see y'all and, you know, send me the episode so I can edit the bitch.
All right.
See ya.
Later.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Yep. All right. So now we're moving on to, right before we hit the news, a couple of reminders. To add on to the fact there's way too much shit happening this weekend, when the show airs, starts the weekend, as far as I'm concerned, because Lionsgate Project from New Japan is starting. I'm not going to go through their card, but I'm just going to remind everybody that the second part of the Young Lions Cup tournament is happening. We've already had three matches with the three, the three top Young Lion guys winning their matches. Harai Kawoto, Katsuya Kitamaru, and Tomoyuki Oka all winning their matches. So I'm only watching the tournament matches. I'm not watching my shows. So the show for Lionsgate Project 9, which is on Thursday, this goes up, will have Oka versus Ren Narita, who's been there for a little while, I guess. I don't know how you guys have been there. Kitamaru taking on Seota Redshoe Sun Umino. I don't know what his name is going to be. And Harai Kawoto taking on Tetsuhiro Yagi. Fuyagi actually looks like he's tall enough that he could possibly go as a heavyweight after all of this, too. So, if you care about the future of the Japan guys, and you should be because they've brought back Jay White hot. They got our boy Kamitachi back as a superstar, showing Yoh are killing it as Roppongi 3K. So some of these guys might actually be real power players in 2 years. So that's the first part of New Japan's stuff going down. And then the second part is that the World Tag League officially starts on Friday. The first several shows are all going to be are only going to have two matches for the World Tag League instead of the full roster. I guess they're going to ease you into it. A lot of these shows aren't going to be live offered VOD because that's what they do for the entire tournament.
Right.
So, quick rundown. What is today, by the way? Today is the 15th.
Yep.
All right. So, I'm just going to run this down to the 23rd real quick. But we're going to start with Goto and Yoshihashi versus Minoru Suzuki and Azuki. This match is really mostly important because people are thinking that Goto is going to rematch against Suzuki again and face off at Wrestle Kingdom because Suzuki still doesn't have a match yet. And Suzuki's a title holder, he's teaming with Azuki, so he's not going to win World Tag League anyway, right?
Oh, hell no.
No. But the main event for that first show is actually going to be Juice Robinson and the Premier and Sami Callihan taking on L.I.J. I actually think Callihan and Juice is going to win this match to set themselves up. I don't think they're going to... I think L.I.J. is going to win their block A, but I think they're going to have Juice Callihan go over the first night. Because, you know, they like to do that sometimes. The second night, Best Friends will make their debut against God, Gorillas of Destiny. I don't think they're going to win that one. Elgin and Cobb are also making their debut against Ishii Niano. I think Elgin and Cobb will win that one, though. On the 20th, the two matches are Nakanishi and Nagata, Team Old Guys 1, versus Yujiro Takahashi and Hangman Page, who I actually like as a tag team, but some people don't. And then Old Guys Team 2, Tenkozi taking on Fale and Chase Owens. Might be a pretty good match. On the 21st, we have the tag team champions, Killer Elite Squad, taking on Team Jobber, David Finley and Katsuya Kitamaru. I think they might win just one match this whole tournament because, you know, Kitamaru is going to take the fall. Then we have Team Jobber, Makabe teaming up with the returning Hinar, taking on War Machine. And then the last match I'm going to mention is on the 23rd. It's A-Block. This is A-Block, and it's going to be have the whole group of people on A-Block all four matches. So all eight teams, I mean. So you have Bullet Club versus Bullet Club, Fale and Owens taking on Paige and Yujiro. You're going to have Team Old Guys versus Team Old Guys, Tenkozi versus Nakanishi and Nagata. I guess this is also an old team, too. Suzuki and Izuki. By the way, apparently Disco Inferno said, why should I know who Minoru Suzuki is? Proving that once again,
oh my
Disco
God,
Inferno doesn't know
serious?
Shit about pro wrestling, and he doesn't know shit about MMA, and he needs to shut the fuck up. But yeah, Suzuki and Izuki.
I hate him so much.
Idiot. Yeah, they were trashing him again on Killing the Town. But yeah, Suzuki and Izuki will take on L.I.J. I think L.I.J. will win that. And then Juice and Sami Callihan taking on Chaos, Goto, and Yoshihashi. Now, we're not going to be predicting winners here because there's a lot of shit going on.
Yeah.
But my in-team suggest, I think it's going to end up coming down to Gorillas of Destiny versus Los Ingobernables. So that's just my prediction for the future. But those will be your first part of the World Tag League going into next Thursday. And now, moving on to news, I'll start with the New Japan news first. Let me get rid of that. Okay. So, first up, New Japan had a revenue, revenue means how much they made in profit, of $34 million American last year, which was up 20% from the previous year.
Huh.
And apparently, the only year that's been higher for them in profits is actually 1997.
Huh.
So, apparently, I mean, I never thought of New Japan as making as much money as WWE, but I didn't realize that they're... I mean, that's still a good profit. I just, you know, WWE profit is just so much, like, larger than life compared to that. But, yeah, that's still really good. And they also... it also shows that even though their TV slot in Japan is garbage, and but between the ticket sales, New Japan World, merchandise, and everything else, they're making a profit, and they're doing a good job of doing it. So New Japan is continuing growth. Other New Japan news, there was a Tekken tournament thing that they had on. They were streaming because they had a deal with Tekken 7, which is why Okada dressed as King during Fantastic Mania earlier this year, which was actually really cool. Yeah, Tanahashi Taguchi faced off. Tanahashi apparently has wrestling gear based on the character of Lars, and his current theme song, Love and Energy, is going to appear on the official Tekken 7 soundtrack. So there's that. And then some news that also ties into Lucha Underground, but there's a new major channel in India called D Sports that's available to 70 million... Huh?
D's Nuts.
Yes, D's Nuts is available to 70 million viewers in this country. So that is a major fucking channel, and they have picked up New Japan Pro Wrestling and also have picked up Lucha Underground. So that is a large possible fan base for both shows. So New Japan is continuing to make moves, and Lucha Underground has finally announced Season 4. No details on when the filming dates are going to happen, but Season 4 is a go. They did a trailer with John Morrison, or Johnny Mundo. And speaking of Lucha Underground, I guess Joey Ryan's contract with them does not prevent him from returning to Ring of Honor. Joey Ryan taking on Kenny King at a show coming up. And he's kayfabe feuding with the Hangman Page because of the whole Hung Page gimmick thing going on.
Yeah.
Which they actually alluded to in an episode of Being the Elite. So, Joey Ryan making that money. And then in in WWE-related news, I guess, Randy Orton apparently added a super kick to his Arnold, so there's that.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Someone posted, like, a fan video from a house show, and he did a super kick on Rusev, and it was like, oh, okay. I mean, it wasn't a bad super kick. It's just like, Randy Orton's doing a super kick? And in healthy news, Paige and Alberto Del Rio are done.
Yeah. It's over. It's a wrap.
So we're not going to be getting the child of Paige and Alberto like I had one time planned. The royalty of two different wrestling worlds, but, you know, whatever.
Thank goodness it didn't go that far.
Yeah, they had a volatile relationship.
Yeah.
And that is all I have for news.
Alright. Alright, let's see what I got. One thing I got for news. They say that, guess what TNA star may actually be signing to WWE?
TNA star. TNA has stars?
Well, so to speak. You know what I mean.
Yeah. Shit. I'm trying to, I would say EC3 is the only guy I think.
Nope. The complete opposite of EC3.
The complete opposite? Is it that Eli Drake guy?
No.
They bring it back Lashley?
No.
Alright, I'm lost. Who else do they have?
Rockstar Spud.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, there's rumor that he may actually sign and he may end up being one of the new cruiserweights.
So he could feud with the gentleman Jack Gallagher?
Yes, I don't know.
I mean, you got the guy in the bow tie wrestling the guy in the suit. It sounds about sounds like a so, shit. That match writes itself.
Yeah. What other news? Over the weekend, you just had a barrage of the WWE women's superstars killing James Ellsworth, basically laying waste to him over and over and over again, and hitting him with stunners and all this other crazy shit, and leg drops and all this other stuff. And now, the news, the latest news on James Ellsworth is that he has finally been let go of the from WWE.
I thought they would have given him a desk job or something.
Yeah. But yeah, they let him go, so he's released. So, hey man.
Just in time to join the Bullet Club.
Hey man, he is an inspiration. The guy who only would have had maybe two appearances in WWE television, and he stuck it out for a year? That's fucking baller. He made it. Who would have thunk it? That guy. You know, so big ups to James Ellsworth and being able to last that long, you know?
Let's say he beat AJ Styles on a WWE program.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Yeah, man. What else? In ROH news, Joe Koff says that the ROH streaming service will launch in early 2018. Still no price point on it. Honestly, for me, if it's anything higher than $5, I'm gonna take a hard pass.
You know that shit's gonna be higher than $5.
Yeah, right? It's gonna be they're gonna go for $10 WWE. But I don't know how the that's gonna work out for them. And
I mean, how much content are they putting up? I don't watch New Japan's archive, but when they go on tour on the big tournaments, that shit is flying with content every day almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really comes down to how much content you're going to be providing. Yeah. If Ring of Honor doesn't do enough shows for me to think that they could be putting up that many shows a week.
Right.
Maybe five?
Yeah, for me, I'm going to see I'm probably going to purchase the first month to see what they have. And then after that, go from there. You know? In other non-WWE news, guess who is continuing their program?
Their program?
Yeah.
Program? You mean a YouTube thing or a TV show?
TV show.
Continuing the program. John Cena keep gonna do True Grit some more?
Nope.
Who else has a TV series?
I said non-WWE.
Oh, non-WWE.
Yeah.
Shit. Is Kenny King going back to The Bachelor?
No, man. I wish. But no, it's Lucha Underground. Yes, Lucha Underground is still going on.
I just said that Lucha Underground season 4 happening.
When?
A little while ago, I said they were, with the whole India news, because they got picked up by them, too.
Oh, shit, I wasn't paying attention.
It's okay, man.
That's fucked up. But even Robert Rodriguez even tweeted it out, though, which was surprising to me. You know, because, I don't see him interacting with anything involving Lucha Underground at all, you know?
Yeah, I don't remember him talking much about Lucha Underground. Yeah, because, on his damn network.
The last time I heard him talking about it was, when Lucha Underground first started, when they were trying to get the hype train going on it. Then after that, he just stopped. And then the only person associated with him that had anything to do with it was, Danny Trejo, and he, had one appearance in the row on one of the shows, and that's it.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I still haven't finished season 3. I'll probably just catch one or two of the stuff on I'll probably just catch the last, what was it, Ultima Lucha Trey when it comes on Netflix, because I want to see the,
I just want to catch
Dante
the
Fox kill shot match.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. I want to catch the kill shot stuff. And that's all I really care about.
Yeah, the Black Wrestlers are carrying that show.
Yeah, basically. What else? Apparently the bassist for Killswitch Engage told Metal Injection that they're actually recording 2 wrestling themes. One for WWE and one for an unnamed wrestling company. So they're not divulging any info on the other competitor. But what, like, apparently that one for the other company is finished. But the one for the WWE is not finished. And the bassist for Killswitch Engage went on record basically saying that they fucking hated the song. Because, like, they're not making an original song for WWE. They got hired to do a fucking cover. So they're doing a cover, and they're doing a cover of a song they don't like, and basically they're trying to find a way to work it to actually, like, make it something that they would like and make it kind of theirs. So, but I think I hate, like, I don't know why WWE wants to go this cover route.
Probably because they wanted to put more metal on their show, but they don't want to put more metal on their show.
Yeah, unless it's a cover. What I'm guessing is that it may be a cover of an existing theme song. That's what I'm thinking. So I'm wondering whose fucking shitty theme song they have to cover for this to happen. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm interested. Well, I'm not interested in the band, but I'm always interested in cover songs because I always think cover songs are fascinating.
Yeah,
and there's some really good metal covers of songs that
the best,
probably should never.
One of the best covers that they had for WWE. I liked the Stone Cold one was good. And then the Kane.
Was that
one.
Really a cover? It was like they took the theme and then just did their own thing.
Well, yeah, it was a okay, so we could just call it a remix, basically.
Yeah.
But the remixes
I
liked.
The metal remix of the song.
The remixes I liked was the Stone Cold one, the Kane one, Slow Chemical, the Finger 11 shit. That's one of my all-time favorites, that Slow Chemical shit. What else? Was there any other ones? Oh, there's so. But those two are the ones that come to mind when it comes to, like, an old thing that got revamped into, like, added vocals and remixed, like, melodies and shit. So, besides that, we talked about Kevin Owens and Randy Orton earlier. We all know, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn kicked off the European UK tour, whatever. And Kevin Owens took that time to chill at Epcot. And while he was chilling at Epcot, he found a couple getting married. They had their reception and snapped a picture with Kevin Owens. They were happy as shit, thanked them on Twitter for it. And then, of course, Randy Orton wanted to knows his get all in his business and shit and insult him. Saying that the only reason Kevin Owens was there was for the sweets, basically calling him a fat bastard, basically. And Kevin Owens attacked him saying that you vape. Randy responded saying, I actually quit vaping. You would know that if you were on the tour.
That was a weak-ass comeback.
Yeah, it was a weak-ass comeback. And, just Kevin Owens just shat on him anyway, so...
I love this, like, for a minute, I thought you said you quit the company. I was happy. I was like, what?
I was like, oh, yes,
I
thank
was
you.
Laughing.
But, yeah, man, but Randy Orton's a fucking dickhead. I don't know. Fuck him. Besides that, Hulk Hogan, Austin Aries, and Eric Bischoff sent out some weird tweets kind of alluding to something big happening in 2018. I don't know if those tweets were related, but it is interesting. Most likely, the Bischoff Hogan shit could be related. Aries, I don't know if he would want to associate himself with those two, so his might be some separate shit that he's working on by himself. Because I know he's been working on some solo stuff in the meantime. And then in other news outside of WWE, besides that, other big things, NWA, at least like there's more life being breathed into NWA. Of course, Billy Corgan is the new head in charge, head guy, whatever. And people were hyped about a wrestler named Tim Storm. Have you heard of him?
No, I have not. And yeah, wrestlers need to stop using their last name Storm, for God's sakes.
Yeah. So, I look him up, and then the dude, like, he's a built dude, but then he's fucking, like, middle-aged dude that I've, like, never seen before. And he's the fucking NWA world champ. Like, how did that happen? Oh, man. But a lot of people, like, people have been, like, people have actually, like, kind of looked into it and stuff like that. And they're actually intrigued. They're trying to get more people involved. Like, other indie talents are actually trying to jump on the NWA bandwagon. So, maybe NWA will get a lot bigger and kind of go back to the glory days. Hopefully. For them. I don't know. It's whatever.
Well, the first thing they need to do is hire some indie guys people fucking care about.
Yeah, man. And besides that, Jake Hager, a.k.a. Jack Swagger, he was on MMA Hour. He talked about how he was the toughest dude in the WWE locker room. If anybody stepped to him, he could take him and whatever. And he actually,
which probably isn't that far off from the truth. He's a tall guy. He could actually go on the mat, but, you know.
But can WWE. He strike, though? Can he actually, like put his paws on somebody? Like, really?
Well, who knows? I'm sure we'll find out soon enough.
Exactly, because besides him, he said that he pitched a shoot fight to WWE management, but they turned it down. But now he's going to be fighting for real. While he was being interviewed and whatnot, he had a contract on his table, and he signed on the dotted line, and he is the new MMA star of Bellator. Fucking the home of Bobby Lashley, of course, because he's been doing some matches here and there on Bellator and been pretty decent. Which is interesting, that Bellator news. Besides that, they had fucking Conor McGregor's dumbass attacking a Bellator ref over the weekend and getting in trouble with the UFC and everybody and whatnot. Shit was fucking stupid. Okay, and in some
yeah, he's 6'5". He's pretty big.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
I figured
he's a big dude with long arms.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But you know, I mean, there are guys in MMA who aren't that good of strikers anyway.
Yeah.
So if he could get his hands on a guy, even if he's not a good striker, he could do a decent job.
Yeah, he could be decent, like maybe.
Yeah, but, and we know that WWE isn't going to do any kind of shoot thing because WWE doesn't want to put one of their guys in a shoot and either they lose or they win and they. You know, you can't have one of your guys don't plan on, you know, pushing to win a shoot fight, a real shoot fight, because then people are going to be like, okay, if he won this match you said is a shoot fight or an MMA fight, why is he jobbing in the opening round to a guy half his size. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Can't have Jack Swagger get over. What the hell?
All right. In wrestling and rap news, there was a Run the Jewels concert earlier in the week, and two wrestlers were there, Mark Davis and Travis Banks. You know, those Southeast Asian white dudes and whatnot. I think what New Zealand,
I hate
right?
white dudes from Asia.
They're New Zealand, right?
Yeah, they're... Well,
at least
on
Travis Banks
I think, is New Zealand.
Yeah, Travis Banks is definitely New Zealand, I think. I don't know about Mark Davis, because I haven't heard too
called
much
the Kiwi
about
Crush.
Yeah. But yeah, they were at the concert. Not only that, they were actually able to get backstage and take a pic with Killer Mike and LP. And besides that, they also ended up, when they did get a pic, they posted it on Twitter, and Killer Mike retweeted the tweet. So that's some good shit. And then some other wrestling and rap news. Yesterday, well, Tuesday the 13th, Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment had their event that went down, and two entertainers per se were in attendance and actually participated in the events, and that is Stevie J and Lil Scrappy. So, like, they were actually in ring gear. Like, Stevie J had the long trunks on and boots. I think Lil Scrappy had, like, some shorter trunks, no knee pads, boots, and a long-ass cape. people were joking, saying, like, yeah, they look like a broke-ass Harlem Heat. But they had better gear than most of the indie wrestlers that were probably on that show. So that was pretty interesting to see. But those two are pretty decently built dudes, so they could actually do decently in wrestling. But of course, background for the folks that don't know who the fuck Stevie J and Lil Scrappy are. Stevie J is a producer. He produced a ton of hits in the 90s, including for like Bad Boy and a whole bunch of New York folks up and down. And Lil Scrappy, of course, he had his song No Problems, and of course the one that most WWE fans would know, Money in the Bank, from of course that which one? I think it was SmackDown versus Raw 2007 or 2008, where that was on the soundtrack. The song almost ended up as the Money in the Bank pay-per-view's theme, but they nixed that. But which would have been fucking dope. But WWE hates rap, so that's probably why. But yeah, so that's one interesting thing. That would be funny if like Lil Scrappy and Stevie J would continue to do this type of shit. And I wonder if that their little thing end up on like a fucking Love and Hip Hop episode or whatever, because you know they do that shit now. Besides that, yeah, time for more serious shit. A lot of sexual harassment, misogyny, sexist shit that's been going on. A guy at an ROH show on Sunday was actually arrested for harassing women outside the bathroom. This is just on the heels of a lot of internet talk involving sexist and misogynist behavior. It's just all bad. And a lot of wrestlers have been speaking out about it, and they're not tolerating it. And it looks like it's getting even it's getting worse, even though people are speaking out, which is a problem, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what these guys are fucking thinking, because one day
it's like
one of these motherfuckers is going to harass a woman, and then he's going to turn around, and there's going to be a fucking 250 pestler behind him going to beat his fucking ass.
Yeah, like they're trying to, like it's weird, because like the fans think they have a lot of the power. So in their minds, they're like, oh, I can do whatever the fuck I want. And because I paid for it and blah, blah, blah. And that makes them entitled to say stupid shit in the arenas, in the halls, wherever, harass women, call wrestlers all types of fucking names and shit. It's just this sense of entitlement that's the biggest problem, because everybody feels like they are owed something just based on doing the bare minimum or nothing at all, and that's a big problem. So I don't know, man, it's really fucked. And besides that, even Jericho was caught slipping, saying a stupid ass sexist comment. Did you see what he tweeted out?
Yeah, and then I saw his kind of bullshit response stuff
but
to
the
it,
cruise,
too.
So basically he was talking about how, like, 35% of attendees be females, and he would later, part of the tweet would also say that that's a lot of bikinis. What was his response to the backlash? Because I didn't see that.
Well, I mean, his response was like, my fans know I'm not, you know, he was saying that the people who are signed up know I ain't like that. That was basically it.
Yeah.
He just didn't apologize. It's like, I worded it wrong, I apologize.
It's just something about the tone of the way he wrote it.
He also was like, you're just trying to stir up shit.
Yeah, it just felt like it was pervy. It sounded pervy, it also sounded like he was trying to sell the cruise on the women that are there.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, if I'm going on a wrestling cruise.
I'm there to watch some wrestling and maybe watch some, like, throw Disco Inferno off a boat.
Yeah.
I mean, the women are obviously, like, a plus, but I wasn't expecting... Yeah, I'm not saying I'm not expecting pretty women. I didn't expect there to be, like, 50-50 women anyway.
Yeah.
And I would feel weird if you know, there were five dudes for every woman in the first place. I feel kind of bad for the women. I mean, yeah. I mean, honestly, if I was a woman, I wouldn't go anywhere that was less than where the demographic couldn't be anything less than 45% women, to be honest with you. Because then if you had to fight back, it'd basically be you versus 1.5 persons instead of you versus three. I don't know how women put up with shit. I don't know. I really don't. Fucking Jericho. And while we're on Jericho, can I complain about something real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, because I'm done with the news.
Alright, I'm getting sick and tired of listening to these Western, or specifically the Canadian, guys and their podcasts, and just, they're just too fucking full of themselves on the Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho thing. Look, I get it. It's a good international match. But you motherfuckers think for a second that Japan thinks this is the main event match? Fuck off! You think for a second that Jericho and Omega are going to have a better match than fucking Okada and Naito? Fuck off! Right? I get it. You're on the Kenny Omega train. Look, first of all, Japan doesn't care about Jericho like that. They may respect Jericho, but the majority of the audience that's watching New Japan now, they weren't watching when Jericho was in it. And Jericho wasn't really that in it in the first place. They'll be like, who's Jericho? Oh, well, he was at those WWE shows. He's a WWE guy. Yeah, okay. But you know for a damn fucking fact that most of that female audience doesn't give a damn about Jericho wrestling Kenny Omega. And probably most of the male audience, too. A lot of those people watch New Japan now in Japan have only really been following the company since the rise of fucking Tanahashi, right? But you got, like, Edge and Christian, or, well, so much Lance Storm, but Cyrus to a degree, building this from the just the international Western standpoint, because obviously, as Americans, our opinion is somehow more important than everyone else's. And let's be honest, there are people like us who probably want to see Okada versus Naito a little bit more than Omega Jericho. Like, that's cool, but we need to see Naito win the goddamn belt at the fucking rest of the dome, right? I mean, I just don't get that shit. Naito and Okada is the main event. Calm down. Jericho's what, 45? 50? I don't know how old is Jericho. Do you know how old Jericho is?
I think Jericho is like 46, I believe.
Yeah, okay, so why? I mean, Kenny, I mean, don't get me wrong, I like Jericho. But Jericho can't go at Kenny Omega's pace at all. So Kenny's going to have to do a lot of the fucking heavy lifting in the first place. I'm just so sick and tired. And I like Omega. And I understand that he's tripling the ticket sales at Ring of Honor. But let's calm the fuck down. Also, Okada's had a better wrestling year than Kenny Omega. Let's be honest, right? I mean, I would argue that Ishii's had a better wrestling year than Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I love the Omega-Okada series, specifically the first match. But let's start kicking some people off of Kenny Omega bandwagon train. Please.
Yeah.
Please.
Everything
it's
evolving.
Not going to be the main event, and I would be fucking surprised if it goes on after Tanahashi versus Jay White. Why would they do that? Why would they put their third most popular wrestler versus the guy that will eventually probably take Kenny Omega's place when Kenny Omega moves on, a guy they've been grooming for years in Jay White? Why would they put that on before Jericho Omega? It's the IC title, for God's sakes. Alright, I'm done.
Yeah. In unrelated news, you hear about Creed 2?
Creed 2? Oh, the movie.
Yeah.
I was like, are we talking about the band? Are we talking about Austin Creed? It's a lot of Creeds.
With arms wide open.
Oh, God.
Yo, Creed.
Like, did he restart the band?
Yo, I'm not going to lie. I did like a few Creed songs when I was younger, when I was a kid. Not going to lie. Them and what's that other fucking band that everybody hates? That Canadian band with that.
Nickelback,
yeah.
I have their first album. It has some okay songs.
They had a few songs.
I think a lot of the bands that get shit probably have a couple good songs. It's just that, you know, you just look at them like they're all a bunch of douchebags you want to punch anyway. Okay, fuck you, Australia, for trying to use fucking Married with Children against gay marriage, you sons of bitches.
Yeah, really?
They posted a picture of Al Bundy on the top of the Daily Telegraph saying, "Nation votes to redefine marriage." These motherfuckers don't remember that fucking Amanda Burse, who directed a bunch of episodes, was an out lesbian.
Oh,
for, like, the last 4 or 5 years she was on that show. She was, like, one of the only out-and-out lesbians. And, and on top of which, he plays the father to a gay couple on fucking Modern Family.
Modern Family, right?
Yeah. Some fucking bullshit. Get this fucking shit. I didn't watch Married with Children thinking that the fucking Bundys were scared of gay people. I watched fucking Married with Children because I thought it was funny. And I liked the Bundy dynamic, even if he just made fun of his wife all the time, but he absolutely loved her.
Yeah.
Was like, God. I guess they're doing it as, well, Al Bundy's not happy with his marriage, so the gays aren't going to be happy with theirs either. Fuck this bullshit. Obviously, props to Australia for people voting for it, but these assholes, man, these homophobes, they just be grasping at straws. Like, I'm sure all the MRA guys are still pissed off that all those motherfuckers are getting outed as sexual harassers, too. People are scum. Mostly white people. My family's cool, though, so, you know.
Oh, man. But, yeah, going back to the Creed 2 shit, apparently the premise, it may be kind of ridiculous. Like, Apparently now it's supposed to be Creed versus Drago 2, basically. So
is he fighting fucking Dolph Lundgren, or does Dolph Lundgren have a kid?
Yeah, Dolph Lundgren's. So it's not so basically Ivan Drago's kid is supposed to be the main antagonist of this movie, and he's basically Creed's son supposed to seek revenge for his father's death and all this other stuff. And then like
if this doesn't turn into a gun shooting action film, I'm gonna have a problem.
And then the rumored casting for Ivan Drago's kid is Sage Northcutt. He is a UFC fighter, complete pretty boy, blonde hair, square jaw, looks exactly like if Dolph Lundgren had a fucking kid with a supermodel.
I think Dolph Lundgren has a kid with a supermodel, but sure.
Oh, he does.
I think he was married to a supermodel at one time. I mean, there's this great story about this these two guys try to rob Dolph Lundgren's house, right? They didn't know it was his house, so they got in and they like tied up his, I guess, then wife or girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah.
And they were robbing the place, but then they found a picture of Dolph Lundgren, and then they just put everything back, released her, and ran off.
Oh wow.
Like, they were scared. Well, he has two kids. Okay. Also, and I'm going to rant a little on this, too, because Dolph Lundgren is in one of my all-time fucking favorite movies, which is Masters of the Universe. And there was some news this past weekend that the director, and I think I heard this rumor before, but molested young boys. So, Gary Goddard, why are you fucking trying to stain my all-time film, man? What the fuck, dude?
Hold on. What film was it again?
The He-Man movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Masters of the Universe. Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah. And I love that film, but what the fuck? Jesus Christ, what the fuck? Gary Goddard, fuck you.
Everybody is getting outed, dude. Like, even one of the co-creators of that CW DC, those DC series. He got outed. What was his name? I forgot what his name was.
Andrew Kreisenberg or something.
Yeah. I think the Guggenheim guy said some stupid comments on Twitter also that got some heat. So all the creators of those shows are catching flack for some dumb shit. And then the One Tree
Hill. Greg Berlanti's kept his mouth shut the loud.
Oh, yeah. He's
got
to.
Yeah, they're
going to
kick everybody off of those shows if they need to.
Yeah, Greg doing the smart thing right now. He's just staying low.
He's got like 18 other shows coming out. He ain't trying to lose no fucking work.
Yeah, he can't lose that shit. I think he's the most known name out of like the three guys that's
producing. He's producing all the DC shows, but he's also got Riverdale. He's also going to be the producer on the Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Black Lightning coming up, and I think he has one other show too. Yeah. This guy doesn't show run. He just shows up like, that sounds like a hit. We're going to put it on the CW.
Yep. And then, speaking of DC shit, I've heard Justice League has gotten mixed reviews.
Yeah, but the reviews are kind of like comic book news where you're like, well, the plot of the comic book was crap, but at least they did the characters right.
Yeah.
Honestly, all movie reviews just remind me of comic book reviews because of how long comic books have been out and how often they get redone and retconned and rebooted. They'd be like, it's too dark. It's like, yeah, I've run into a couple comic books like that.
Yeah.
So comic book superhero movies are officially like fucking comic books. They're either too interconnected, there's either too much different tones going, and ultimately you're like, well, did they do the character justice? I'm still going to see Justice League. It looks like it's going to be silly fun. And then I'm going to, because I have to work a fucking 2 a.m. shift that day, I probably won't start watching Punisher until I take a fucking long-ass nap. Watch that until the weekend. And then Runaways next week. Fuck.
Yeah.
And there's the big DC fucking crossover on the CW that same weekend coming up. Wait. It's the weekend after.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit going on the next few weeks, man. God damn it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to those crossovers. Those things are fucking movies, too.
Yeah, I heard the Legends of Tomorrow one will make people sad. That's what I heard.
I did like the Arrow section of the crossover last season, because it was also their 100th episode, so they did some pretty good stuff there. And, yeah, it's going to be interesting. The Supergirl is going to be much more involved, so I think Hershey's going to be in the episode, so that'll be a nice change.
I don't even follow Supergirl, so I don't know what to
expect from there.
Expect from that.
Supergirl's okay.
The only time I caught Supergirl was like the pilot episode and the crossover from last year. That's it.
There's some pretty good stuff on it. I say the biggest hit against it is because they couldn't afford to bring what's her name, the actress used to be on was it Allie McBeal, the one who's married to Harrison Ford? I can't remember her name. Calista Flockhart.
Was it Calista Flockhart?
Yeah, yeah. Because she would be great in all her scenes, but because they moved to because they had to move production to save costs when they switched networks.
Oh, when they switched networks, of course. CW doesn't make nearly as much as CBS.
Yeah. So when those few episodes where she showed up in season two, she was like, "Man, I missed her." But you know, I appreciate some of the things because. Because the CW superhero shows are probably the most diverse and inclusive of, like, any of the superhero shows or movies, really. You got gay couples, they're covering the lesbian relationship because of Supergirl's sister. They got, you know, black characters, the Jimmy Olsen being black, a handsome black man. They got John Jones being played by a black man, too. Arrow, you got fucking Mr. Terrific, black gay guy, and you got, of course, I can't remember his name now, Diggle, I mean, that,
and you got the girl, too, the Muslim girl.
On Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, Flash, I mean, you got actually a lot more black folks on the CWDC shows than I think in any of the Marvel TV series other than Luke Cage.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got a pretty good gay and lesbian representation. You have some Hispanic actors, some Asian actors. Well, definitely got Hispanic actors and some Asian actors popping up here and there. So, I mean, those were some pretty fucking inclusive shows. Yeah. And even though they're not, like, perfect, I still think they're most of them are fun, and I like... And I love the crossover thing, too. I think they've done a better job of crossing over than, like, Defenders was. I have Defenders.
Yeah.
And it's...
Yeah.
And see, I do like... What's up?
Like, just for the MCU Netflix shows, the biggest problem with a lot of these shows is that they're too long. Like...
Yeah.
The thing is that, like, the way the episodes are playing out, like, it's just a drag. It just drags on and on and on.
Yeah,
like,
they
so,
decided
like, by the
to
time
not...
you hit episode 7 or 8, you're, like, fucking spent. And one hit that 8, 9, 10 episodes, and it's just, like, feels like a whole bunch of, like, filler that's just dragging on. It kills the fucking, like, momentum of the show.
I think the problem is that the next Marvel shows decided to not do the Buffy template of the bad guy of the week and then having the major bad guy.
Right.
They'll have like one or two like minor bad guys to face off with, but by not doing the villain of a week, which is what the CW essentially adapted the Buffy format of, trying to do the villain of the week and then having the major villain.
Right.
And that worked for them. Netflix decided not to do it, and even though they only do 13 episodes instead of 23, it still has a negative effect. Marvel has enough villains that they could have put more villains in Daredevil. I can kind of buy not putting more villains in, let's say, Jessica Jones, but they could have threw more villains in Daredevil, especially because the Hand is crap.
Yeah,
they could have threw like maybe one or two other Luke Cage's bad guys, because I read the old school Luke Cage stories. I think they could have done a couple more bad guys for Luke Cage. I mean, and they did. They could have just threw a couple more assassins in there. But Luke Cage was a little bit better. Iron Fist, for sure, needed some goddamn bad guys.
Yes. Because that whole struggle between him and the siblings and shit was just...
Got tired after episode two.
And then the dialogue was just fucking garbage, too.
Yeah, and Iron Fist in the hand just everything dragged defenders down in the first half of it.
Yeah.
I mean, Luke Cage was trying his best to make him likable, but that shit wasn't working.
Yeah.
Though I did like the Jessica Jones Daredevil stuff was actually pretty good, too.
Yeah.
But... I mean, I still like the shows. I'm looking forward to Punisher. I'm looking forward to Runaways. I'm actually kind of looking forward to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now that the last season was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually really hyped about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because they really turned it around.
Yeah, and they're going to be in space this season. So it's going to be interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Did you see the new Deadpool teaser?
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, with the Bob Ross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time one of these things drop, I'm like, yeah, don't give Marvel the X-Men properties. Fox is doing a damn fine job right now.
Yeah, because
their
like,
marketing is on point. Their casting has been pretty damn good. I mean, even the bad X-Men movies in the last few years still have some fun shit going with it.
And then one thing, like, they would not risk... They would not risk doing... A rated R movie. Disney, they will not. Even though they have the room to do so, they will not.
It's aggravating kinda why, because like I don't want them to take the Netflix shows either. Because are they really gonna fucking air Luke Cage on freaking the Disney streaming thing where he's saying nigga? No.
Fuck no.
Fuck no.
Actually, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say that.
Everybody else says nigga.
But everybody else does.
Yeah. They're like, they didn't use that many cuss words on Luke Cage, but they used nigga a lot.
Yeah. Nigga, please. Yo, son.
And they're filming, like, season two for that, season two for Jessica Jones, and season three for Daredevil. I guess they might be filming for season two of Iron Fist, but I'm less... interested in that.
They're famous for everything, basically.
Yeah, Netflix trying to get them shows on there before... Yeah, are they going to air Punisher on the fucking Disney streaming thing?
Oh,
I don't think
hell
no. So.
God damn it. Like, I'm just praying. I am truly, truly praying that they're going to be like, yeah, we're going to keep these shows on Netflix. Everything else will be on our streaming service. That's what I'm hoping for.
Because I heard that the only reason they wanted to buy Fox was actually less for the X-Men stuff and more for their TV shows. Like, I read that they were really interested, because, like, Futurama, is something they wanted.
Yeah, they're trying to get content. That's a big thing with Disney. That's all they want. That's why they're willing to, once they buy Fox, most of, a lot of the shares from Fox, they're willing to keep... let Fox keep some of the other bullshit that is a little too controversial, per se. Like, Fox News. They're like, y'all keep that shit.
It'll be interesting to, because with the DC streaming service, I think they're going to end up keeping the DCCW show on Netflix, but it'd be interesting if it's on both, because it's also on the app, so it would be interesting if those shows are available on multiple streaming services.
Right.
Because Netflix gets all the CW shows 2 weeks later, after the series ends. Unless you're, like, in Canada, in which case you just watch Riverdale on it when it comes out, too. So because I'm pretty sure all of the... Almost everything that Warner Brothers has for DC is going to go on that DC thing, and that's a lot of shit. I mean, that includes the entire 860s Batman shows. I think they got the Swamp Thing licenses... I finally watched the original Swamp Thing movie. It's whatever. Yeah. I can't believe that motherfucker had two movies, an animated series, and a long-running live-action series.
Yeah.
All right, we are going so far off. Is there anything else we need to talk about, or do you want to talk about some more random-ass shit?
No, I think we're good.
We're good, all right. Cool. I just got one of my brother's gifts in the mail. I ordered him the Zelda game for the Switch.
Nice. Oh, you got?
Yeah, my mom bought the Switch, and I'm like,
oh shit, that's dope. You got a Switch, man. Yeah. That's dope. Like, I'm gonna be getting a Switch possibly next week.
Yeah, well, don't get it on Amazon. They're charging an extra $60.
Really?
See, yeah, because it's like $350 on Amazon, but most stores are selling it for $300, you know, without a game or without a warranty.
Right.
So it's so, just, yeah, and we were like, so my mom just bought it at a fucking GameStop.
Most likely I'm going to buy it on GameStop. Reason being, because, like, I ended up accumulating enough pro points to upgrade to the Elite Pro level. So I get basically the best deals for GameStop, and I didn't have to pay for the membership. So I'm just going to use whatever resources I can off of GameStop to be able to get that. And most likely I'll just get I'll end up getting the bundle, the Mario Odyssey bundle, but then eventually play Zelda. Honestly, I've never played a Zelda game. Never.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, never.
Oh, we've been playing. I played a bunch of Zelda. I was a kid when the original Zelda came out, so I remember playing the first two Zeldas like, on and off.
Like, and I'm an RPG guy. Right now I'm playing Dragon Quest VIII on the 3DS.
My brother, I think, asked for that, too.
What'd you say?
My brother asked for that. I was thinking about getting it.
Dragon Quest VIII?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's pretty good. Like, the thing is that it's an old game. They just ported it to the 3DS. I think.
Well, my brother's all about playing some of his favorite old games. He's had Chrono Trigger on like three different systems.
Yeah, but it works. But yeah, Dragon Quest VIII works well on 3DS. It's good. And then what other games have I had? For the DS, I had, what's that? Golden Sun. That's probably one of the best RPGs, period.
My brother had that one, too. My brother's a huge RPG guy.
Yeah, Golden Sun 1 and 2, those were fantastic. Because, like, Golden Sun 2 was a straight sequel. Like it was a continuation of the goddamn story. And it was brilliant, the plot line. Like, for an RPG, the way the plot ran was great. I loved it. And then, of course, Breath of Fire 1 and 2. I remember I used to play those for handhelds. Those are fucking awesome. And then, the original Dragon... Before Dragon Quest, they had... The original game was Dragon Warrior. I played that game for, like, Game Boy. One of the Game Boys. I think it was Game Boy Advance that I played it on. And I loved that shit. It's fucking awesome. But, yeah, I love playing some of those. Like, one thing I don't like as much anymore is Pokemon, though.
My brother's kind of the same way. I mean, he was doing the Pokemon Go thing for a while, but he loved playing handheld RPGs.
Yeah.
And he always played RPGs. But when it comes to those, his favorite is all time is Chrono Trigger.
Yeah.
But I think, was it the Nintendo 64's first, the Nintendo 64 Zelda games? Specifically Ocarina of Time, but also Majora's Mask are two of his favorites.
Yeah.
But I think he's played most of the Zeldas. Not all of them, but most of the Zeldas. Which is why I picked that game to get him. I knew that was the main focus. Like, he tried to buy a Switch when it came out, but he got home from work, went on to do the pre-order, and that shit was sold out everywhere.
Yeah.
So, that was, but I mean, I'm thinking about getting him in Dragon Quest. I got to make up, because last year he got me more for Christmas than I got him, and more for my birthday than I got him, and I kept feeling awful. I fucking hate that, but, yeah. But I still got, like, fucking... I buy gifts for my mom and my brother for Christmas, so... Gotta do it. Alright, so that's it. We did all the wrestling great, and we saved pretty much all of the off-topic stuff for the end.
Most definitely.
Yeah, so we don't even have to fucking tie it back to wrestling, because we about to get the fuck up out of here.
Yep.
So, plugs. I am on Twitter at CM Towns, where I pretty much just retweet wrestling gifs, retweet comic book art, and retweet politics, which is essentially fuck Trump and fuck these crazy people going around shooting people. But literally, if you have an AR-15, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Jesus, like, every single, like, shooting involves one. Why? It's fucking insane.
Why the fuck are you going into fucking elementary schools too? What the fuck is wrong with you white, crazy assholes? And there was the latest guy, they found his wife under the floorboards of the house. He had killed her too. Jesus. Fuck these guys. Fucking A. This is why I don't want to go out. I mean, and I have to go outside. There's good food out there. I need to buy food.
Yeah.
Fuck you all. All right. But yes, I am on at Twitter at CM Towns. I'm on Instagram, too, at Westside Goth, but I don't think I've... Westside, period, Goth. I don't haven't posted anything in a while, but I'm sure I will start posting again sometime whenever I get something worth posting. Well, that's me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and if you're in Tampa, Florida, watch out for that serial killer.
Yes. One of my true crime posts did a live show there. And they're like, yes, we're going there. There's going to be a serial killer.
Jesus, that shit's crazy. I remember in this side there was the DC sniper.
Yeah,
no one knew where he would fucking pop up next. Cause like, yeah, he was concentrated in most of that DC, PG County, Montgomery County area south of us. But like, we were always afraid that like, dude would start like driving up towards Baltimore County or some shit. So like everybody was like all shook and just worried. Like I would be in like the fucking, cause like sometimes I would walk part of the way to school, and like I would always keep my head on the swivel cause I was afraid somebody would be around the corner or some shit. But yeah man,
I think the thing about that one too is like no one thought it would be black because it was like everyone's white people shit. It turned out he was black, and the black folks went like, you know, radio silence for a couple of days. we were like, well, shit, fuck that. Can't say shit for a while about crazy white people.
Yeah.
But luckily, then crazy white people shit happened.
Yeah.
There's actually much more black serial killers than people realize. We don't talk about it.
Yeah, man. Because white folks do it best, that's why.
White folks got that grandioseness about it.
Yeah.
They want to kill as many as possible at the first time, or they got gimmicks. They trying to rank up, they trying to beat each other in numbers. Yeah. Black serial killers ain't like that. But that's another pocket right there. Alright, where can they find you, man?
You could find me doomsday519.tumblr.com, at Joey Doomsday on Twitter, doomsday519 on YouTube as my primary channel, secondary channel Doomsday Gorilla, spelled as TWG's Gorilla, Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram, and at Joey Doomsday 519 on Snapchat. And of course you can check us out on redemradio.com Thursdays 9 p.m. Eastern Time, as well as the other shows, The Rant, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Freaks and FM Geeks, and the other shows besides those. And you can also listen in on past shows in the archive section, and also follow The Rant and Rant EM Radio on Twitter. And that's
it. Yep. I guess you can follow NNZ on Twitter too.
And of course, NNZ Podcast on Twitter. That is Hootie's handle. So yeah, that's it. So yeah, we're gonna go ahead and end this on a high note. So hey, smoke weed every day. I see you try, but you're running and you can't. I know you want.